dimension is going to keep cropping up again and again. That this issue of what exactly they're arguing about seems to affect a lot of other issues in Zriya, and it serves as a convenient point of entry to a lot of the different topics that come up. So we need to just figure out what are we extracting from that machlokas? What is coming out of what was planted in that whole story? Essentially, the differences between the Rosh Hashi and the Chassidim. We mentioned that there are those who see this in the context of a larger Shabbos issue about whether we're paying attention to the individual or we're paying attention to the product. But it's hard to say that's really what motivated their discussion. They were dealing with a problem. They were dealing with how could it be that here for this malacha to be meaningful, it needs to happen later, it needs to happen when the Hashrasha happens. But the Hashrasha doesn't happen on Shabbos. So how could we have a meaningful malacha zoreh? And are you okay with a model like that? Are you okay with a malacha essentially extending into after Shabbos? Or are you not okay with it? The Rosh Hashanah basically being somewhat okay with it in a conditional format. And the Chassidim of not being okay with it, the Chassidim saying essentially we have to define Zriya as something happening on Shabbos specifically, and therefore the act of putting it into the ground already constituting Zriya. So however they got to where they got to, and whatever forces were pushing them to address whatever they were addressing, what major principles can we leave with? What do we take to Rosh Hash, or we take to the Chassidim? What major principles are left? Anyone have any go?
We're talking about like the Pu'ula and the Tapas, so like it seems like according to Mitzvahim that like the Pu'ula is important, at least in a...
Right, so that is definitely one of the issues. I mentioned it could be part of a broader Shabbos issue, and that the Chassidim is focused more on action, while the Rosh Hashanah is focused more on the result. But even just in terms of defining what that action is, it seems to be that there's a difference here. So the Chassidim is essentially understanding that taking that first step, or maybe as we'll see, taking any step towards the growth of a plant, is an action that constitutes Zriya. So therefore, putting something in the ground was already an act of Zriya, regardless of what happens later or when it happens. While the Rosh Hashanah seems to be that it's really more about bringing about the growth of the plant. And the reason you are chayav on Shabbos is because you will ultimately have brought about a plant taking root. And that's a slightly different focus, and that may impact on a lot of issues that we're going to look at too.
So
it's
so important in the law that we should be at risk, so who cares what happens on Tuesday, right?
Right, so that's why the Chassidim had especially a difficult time figuring out. And that's why the suggestion was that maybe that question of whether the truth of the statement you just said, which we were assuming was true with a large part of our introductory discussion, maybe that's a little bit to play here. And maybe the Chassidim is more focused on that than the bad is being addressed. And therefore, he's got to define it as something we are in now. While the Rosh Hashanah, maybe there are those who argue, is going to move way a little bit from that definition. But even within that definition, it seems that just what is it that's disturbing your rest is itself a question. So the Chassidim's understanding that taking that step towards promoting growth is itself the malacha, while the Rosh Hashanah seems to be focused more on bringing out some actual growth, and that growth happening is an integral clause in the malacha. So this is going to be the background of a number of other issues. Maybe to pick one to start with, the question of potted plants. So as we know, especially if we've seen it used in corals, there are essentially two types of potted plants. And they have different categories as far as how the halacha recognizes them. Now, practical halacha, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit in our halacha session, what constitutes a utzitz nakhlut? And an utzitz she'eino nakhlut is not as obvious as it may sound. Literally speaking, an utzitz nakhlut is a perforated, is a pot with holes in it. And the holes are useful because they allow for a connection between whatever is underneath the pot and whatever is in the pot. while a atis she'eino nakuv doesn't have holes in it, therefore presumably is not interested in connecting with anything outside of the pot. However, these are not absolute categories. In practical halacha, there is extensive literature about utzits. We'll see how much you want to get into it. They should be aware that material makes a big difference. Some materials are more permeable than others. And when you get into practical halacha, it's a separate discussion, but you should just be aware that it's not as simple as whether or not there are holes. Very often, the material and other circumstantial details can impact on what status is relevant. But at least for the purposes of our abstract discussion. So we have two categories. We have pots that have holes and pots that don't have holes. So the Rishonim discuss a unique question about Zriya and a hole with pots in it. Gemara Daf Pei Aleph, which is on the Marmakomos, talks about towage. Talks about disconnecting a pot. And the situation is that you have a pot that's in the ground, meaning that it's on top of the ground, so halakhically it's connected, because it has holes in it. So you have a utzit on top of the ground, top of the karka. And you shift its position to putting it on top of the stand, on top of the pegs, of Gabi Yisedos. The key thing that's happening here is that this is not a real disconnection, because there's still a nourishment that's going to come from the soil to this pot. The pot is not really being removed from the soil, it's being shifted in its relationship to the soil. So it used to be literally touching the soil, now it's a little bit up. So the Gemara says over there, Afpe Aleph, that this is a chiyuv of tolish. However, Rishonim have a surprising way of relating to that. What's the surprising thing you find in Rashi and Tosfos, Agos Sotri, a lot of Rishonim seemingly changing the literal meaning of this Gemara? What all these Rishonim maintain? Are you really Chayiv Mishum Tolish? No. According to a lot of these Rishonim, this is really an Issur D'Rabbanan. So even though, we'll discuss, but the language really sounds high, it sounds like it's a deraisa. But nonetheless, a lot of Rishonim maintain it's a derabbanan. Now, I had to ask, why do they say that? So, first of all, they say it because of a question. Because there's a comparable case, which we sometimes allow. If you have a rock that has grass growing on it, essentially it becomes connected to the ground. So the Rishonim assume this is comparable to a plant, to a pot with holes in it, to an utzit smaku. And yet, under some circumstances, you're allowed to lift this up off the ground on Shabbos. Those circumstances are relevant to personal hygiene if you use it for hygienic purposes. So then that's considered to be a concern of Kavan HaBrios. Kavan HaBrios, by the way, is a fascinating sugya, which is in the Sefer Shabbos, and we'll try to work it in that we'll discuss it through the Gemara. But for now, what we need to know is that Kavan HaBrios, which actually also is heavily rooted in Kasher's Parsha, but it was in chaining, so we didn't get to it, but very much a Kiseise topic. But the idea is Kavan HaBrios has priority over certain halachos. One of them is that a din d'rabbanan, we sometimes allow something that's also din d'rabbanan for Kavan HaBrios. So this is one such example. You're allowed to pick up this rock and use it for hygienic purposes because of the Kavan HaBrios consideration. So you show in mass, well, you can only do that if it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. This is really an Issur D'Oraisa. This is really a Chilul Shabbos. So then we wouldn't allow it. So therefore, these Rishonim say, it must be, this is really a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan. While the Rambam's language is more like the Gemara, it sounds like from the Rambam, that this is actually the Siddur Raisa. So, what do you think is at stake here? Besides, the question that forced these Rishonim to say what they said, from a conceptual point of view, why is it that this may be only an Issur D'Rabbanan, as opposed to the literal reading of Gemara, which sounds like it's an Issur D'Oraisa? On the surface, to say it's a D'Oraisa makes sense. Here you have something that's connected to the ground, and you are disconnecting it from the ground. And therefore, now the Aharon discuss as well, the post can discuss, what about the inverse? So what about shifting it from on the pegs to the ground? Should that be Zoraya? Do we assume it's also a Drabanan, based on what the Gemara is saying about Polish, according to these Rishonim? Or is it possibly a Doraisa? So what's at stake here? What's animating this question? It seems to be that what we're dealing with here is a quantitative slash qualitative difference. Not clear what the best word to use, we can't talk about actual numbers. But it's a difference in degree. Normally, when we talk about Zoraya, until now we've talked about taking a seed and connecting it where it wasn't connected. The seeds that we were talking about would have never grown into anything. And now you're putting them into the ground and making them potentially grow. And inversely, kotzer would involve taking something which is growing and end up rooting it. So what's different in this case for that model? It's more a question of degree. That by moving this plant from the pegs onto the ground, let's say, so now you're taking something that was growing already, and presumably it's going to grow a little faster. It's going to get its nourishment more directly. And if you pick it up off the ground, it's probably going to grow more slowly. It's not going to stop growing, in the absolute kosher sense. It's going to grow more slowly. So is that comparable? Is that a total violation of the ray? It seems to be that's the issue. This is a very major question, and it's going to have a major impact on practical halacha, because there are many things that we could do that could be comparable to shifting a utzitz from one place to another. Many things we could do to speed up the process of growth or to slow down the process of growth. And should we assume that there's a real issue of the rice involved here? Should we assume this is essentially an act of Zoraya or kotzer, depending on the direction?
Are you assuming it's all one schedule? You can say different things. There's Unika, Makarka, and then there's Avir, and even Kuar.
So when you talk about Unika, are you raising in terms of what's considered to be kotzer or not?
I'm saying in terms of kotzer and in terms of Zoraya, maybe Mahubar type of connection would be sufficient to continue, or maybe even just jumping between different categories would violate it.
So you're saying that is to contrast that with one spectrum, you're saying these are different things. But then you really have to create new Isurim. If you say that Unika is significant and is part of the spectrum, right? So when you talk about Unika, if you want to just consider our terms, so to contrast Unika and Hashrasha, so Unika you'll say anything that gets any nourishment, well, Hashrasha means it's really taking root and it's going to grow. If you want to give Unika a slot along the path, so we really have to create its own category. Unless you want to say a big chiddush, which I don't know if there's a source for, that anything that shifts, let's say we can make different stages, totally disconnected, and Unika being stage one, and Hashrasha being stage two. And Zoraya means to move from one category to the next. So to move something from Unika to Hashrasha is Zoraya. Well, that's probably the biggest chiddush, because that's a really not much of a shift. So you really need a source to say that this is called Zri. It seems like we really have only two ways to look at it. That either it's absolute, either you're taking something disconnected and connecting it, or it is on a spectrum, and it is a question of degree, and then we can put everything on the same continuum. But to make the categories in the middle, I don't, we might need a better source to say that's possible. We've seen. Yes, sir,
maybe planting is only something new, like planting is a type of something new, as opposed to moving something that's existing. It's a problem, but you're not creating new, which is a problem of Shabbos.
Right, absolutely. That seems to be what's motivating those who are saying that there's no issue deraisa here. That maybe planting, by its definition, can only apply to something that's not planted. And the question, it's interesting, as we'll see even more here in a minute, there's going to be constant contrasts between Zriya and Bishul. So we know that when it comes to Bishuls, the category ain't Bishul after Bishul, which is very relevant to understanding what's going on here, that if there's no cooking of something that's already cooked, you could ask, and the question comes up in terms of a lot of other malachos, is there zriah achar zriah? If something is already planted, can you plant it more? Is there such a thing as planting something that's already planted? Or is it only that you can plant things that are not yet planted? So that seems to be part of what's beneath the surface here, what's being argued about. Yes, sir?
I don't understand why it's a question. So the first thing is something to Mar 9 Gil, that Mark even operated and all those things. It's already for something that's existed. It's still under Zareya.
Right, except there, when you talk about market, so then you're creating new entities. Right? Whether we're talking about grafting one plant to another, so you can argue this new entity didn't exist before. Or when you take one part of the plant and you reinsert it into the ground, right. So you could argue that that's a new level of implantation. Like that part was not planted before in that way. But to just speed up the process, it's not necessarily comparable. What's fascinating, if you go back to Minchas Chinuch, Minchas Chinuch has a statement which is very hard to understand, both practically what it means in real life and also from the Lamedship perspective what he means. But he takes it as a total given that if it were possible that you could plant something on Shabbos and have the Hashrasha take place on Shabbos, let's assume for a second that could be, if that would happen, you'd be chayiv twice. You basically did two malachas. The initial putting it in the ground, and the hashrasha, which you are liable for also. It's a very difficult point. A lot of later svarim have a hard time figuring out why he would say that, but it also opens the door a little bit to different stages within this process, which maybe is more relevant to what Tuvia was saying. So maybe that's what the Chasunuk is getting at, saying that there are different, anytime you move it from one stage to the next, that's also considered to be malachah. Well, here again, it's about hashrasha, which we're already recognizing as a stage. So we haven't yet put a stage in between putting it in the ground and Hashrasha.
We have stages of that for Truma and Street.
Correct. But we don't know if we're recognizing, unless you want to say putting it in the ground, that's called shifting it from no unique to unique. Maybe.
From Zaria to Sri,
right.
Don't have to be the same.
No, they don't have to be the same at all. Right.
Something could be totally issued, even though the reverse would be.
Correct. Right. So maybe that is. Maybe the Minchas Chinuch statement that you can theoretically be liable for both points is a way of acknowledging shifting from one stage to the next is perhaps a type of Zariah, which is a fascinating idea. David?
Why is Hashrasha the standard?
Well, the assumption is that if we don't have Hashrasha, but anything, part of what provoked the whole issue is that if there never is a Hashrasha, so then what's called planting about what you did? If you put the seed on a table, so it never gets any different, it never gets planted. So too, if you put it in the dirt, but it never connects, if it never has a hashrasha, what makes it different? So it seems clear that the whole goal of what you're doing is to provoke plant growth, and if it's never going to have this rooting, it's not going to provoke this growth.
The next 3 days, hashrasha just seems to be a latent manifestation of the actual zero process. So it could be that something that's not necessarily visible to the naked eye, that mm-hmm. is before that.
Sure, so that's what Tuvia is saying, that there is a process of unique, and we mentioned in the...
So it just be the actual act of Zira, even if it doesn't actually come to fruition.
But so that's why the Minchas Chinuch says that your actual putting it in is the Malacha. But now he's also saying, you know, on top of that, that there's also an act you could be chaya for if theoretically it took a Hashrasha on Shabbos, which is quite a chidush. But in terms of this question about the Otzitz, so it seems to be that there is essentially a degree change happening here in terms of how quickly it's going to grow or how slowly it's going to grow. And those Rishonim, and the Magen Avraham, by the way, follows this view of those Rishonim, that this is only the Rabbanan, are going to understand that that's not really Zareya. Zareya is more of a absolute change in what you have before. Now that's going to cast a different light. Actually, that's a pun as well. You see, that's going to cast a different light on a lot of actions which we're assuming are subsumed within Zareya. For example, we're assuming that watering the plants, watering the field, is somehow within the Zareya family. Although you may have seen the Gemara has a question whether that's technically Zareya or Kodesh, but that seems to be a part of our problem as well. So what's the difference here? Why is it that we can assume that watering the plants is going to be an Isser D'oraisa, while speeding up the process in this way, bringing it closer to the ground, is not a Nisar Daraisa, it's a Nisar Darabanan. So Egli Pala talks about this. Any ideas what might be the difference?
What's the sign saying that the water
against
the
Daraisa? Well, that's, it seems pretty clear from the Lama Maisa, at least, that the water is, right? The Gemara says water is the total of either Zorea or Chorich. So it's one or the other, or it could be both. And in practice, we definitely treat watering as an issue of the red, which is why you don't want to eat on top of the grass, you don't want to wash your hands on top of the grass. So we definitely assume watering the plants is a problem. So what's the difference between watering the plants and bringing the pot closer to the ground? Neither of them initiate the process, they're both about advancing the process. So the Egli Tal, he suggests that the difference is that watering is a crucial part of the process. That's something you're going to have to do. That's basically, it's not that it speeds up the process, it's what makes the process work. Without enough water, it's not going to happen. While bringing it closer or farther to the ground, that's simply a time issue. That's just about making it happen more quickly or more slowly. It's not a crucial part of the process. And if you never shift it from above to lower, it's still going to grow. It's just going to take more time.
That's the case. Why can't Shabbos do you make the flame higher or lower so it's cooking already?
So that's a Havara issue. But you're raising an important point that there clearly is a difference, which we'll talk about in a second, between this and cooking. Happens to be the flame that's an issue of a different law. But your point is well taken, and that's the next thing we're going to discuss is what comes out of the second. So it is an important question. It clearly does seem to be a difference here. Yes?
According to Egli Tal, if you would have a, say, a plant or tree that would naturally get enough rain on its own, so then your watering would only need to change the effect of it, just like moving the pot. So it doesn't need your water.
So I think there might be some truth to that, there might not be some truth. I think you could either say that the watering has to happen. If it happens with Neshamayim, that's fine. If it happens from your intervention, that's also fine. But because it's necessary for the process, it's defined as objectively necessary. However, there is still room to say, practically, we discussed a little bit some issues, that if it's really not adding because it's already wet, let's say, so then there is some room to say that it doesn't really make much of a statement. Although, in that context, if you really were helping, if you were helping only to a little bit of a degree, it would presumably be acknowledged that as a malacha. We discussed that the posting would say if it doesn't help at all, then maybe it doesn't count. So presumably it's really the first answer, that once we define this as necessary, so whether it'll be taken care of by somebody else or by you, it's still a necessary part of the process. Adam? That seems to be the understanding. But his point is that it'll accelerate the process, but that's not meaningful. That's a nice question. Yeah, it'll grow more quickly. Apparently, it'll grow more quickly because it gets the nourishment more in the cold glass. More directly connected to the source of nourishment. Apparently, that's the disease. I have to take that on faith. A Muna part of the discussion. But this difference that Egli Tal maintains, so does that resonate with you that, okay, so if you do something that's necessary, it's not going to happen otherwise, that will all be subsumed within the initial Zareya. But here, just to change the pace, that's not necessarily relevant. So it seems, he doesn't spell this out, but it seems like he's essentially saying that Zareya is bringing about the act of doing what's taking the steps towards bringing about the plant growing. So just like, remember the Egli Tal himself was an infestina plant, right? So just like putting it in the ground is an act of Zareya. So too, taking it to the next step to bring it about, such as watering it, is also an act of Zareya. It's something that's not necessary for the process. So that doesn't get its own status as a part of the malach. Seems to be what he's saying. You have to figure out to what extent this is consistent with the view of the Yerushalmi. And you mentioned, I think, that we started this sugya, that the Yerushalmi, which has kol shavu l'havkel is not free, anything that takes care of the free, anything that's stopped it from being damaged, etc., is all subsumed within Zoraya, is the Egley Kal consistent with that Yerushalmi? Or is he setting up a definition now that's different? I don't know if it's 100% clear which way he's going. You could argue that what Yerushalmi is talking about taking out the worms and making sure the damaging elements are not there, so maybe that's also necessary, because if you let the worms eat the plant, then the plant's not going to grow. So maybe these are all actions which are essential to you or God, so then that all becomes a part of Zoraya. While something which is not so fundamental, it's either going to happen or not, it's not going to affect whether the plant grows, maybe that's not within the definition. But this becomes a very major issue. To what extent is accelerating the process significant? Maybe the Rambam apparently seeing it as an issue to Araisa. While all these other Rishonim who say lifting up the Yotzitz Nakuv is not going to be the Malacha, apparently defining it as more absolute, it's connected, now it's not connected, or vice versa, but now that you shift the perspective and you shift the degree of what's happening. Yes, John.
Also, I think you can say it's not so comparable to the Yerushalmi's case, because that's defending it's something that do negative.
Correct. Right. So that itself was a chiddush, right? The whole idea that defending against the negative is even acknowledged as a malacha, while in other areas of Torah it's sometimes not considered to be significant, that itself was a chiddush. But you could say that it's even a step beyond. Right? So you could say that presumably if we put them on the spectrum, we'd say making the connection, that's the real malacha. Then a step below that is advancing the connection. And then a step even below that is stopping outside problems. So presumably, I would probably have put the Yerushalmi on the other side of the Egley Kal. Although what might keep it on this side is if we determine necessity, if we say that this is crucial because the plant's going to get destroyed, while advancing it back and forth is not so crucial, maybe that's where we have a little bit of a room to distinguish. The Egley Kal also discusses then the question that Zvi raised, which is an important question, that it does seem to be clear that our old nemesis, Zriya, Bishl, his constant sparring partner, is always everything you say about Zriya, Bishl comes up to ask a shayla. So it's pretty clear that we have a prohibition on Shabbos of stirring the pot. And if we do something to accelerate the process of cooking, so then that does seem to be treated as a malacha d'oraisa. So why should it be that that's different? Why should it be that I can't accelerate the process of cooking, but I can accelerate the process of planting, of plant growth? Why should that be different? Why should it be a distinction? Anyone want to take a stab at it?
Wait, the scale is easier.
Keep in mind, David Talon is asking this question. I'll give you a hint to what you're about to say. He explicitly aligns himself with the Mephistina in addressing this.
But so the whole action's over as soon as you did it, so therefore you're going to speed it up. It doesn't matter.
Oh, absolutely right. So that's essentially what the Egley Kal says. So he's comfortable just answering to the Mephistina because he's his partisan, and he takes his side in this issue. So he says that, look, that's the difference we've been saying between Bishl and Zriya. That when it comes to Zriya, it's done right away. When it comes to Bishl, it's not done until it's cooked. So therefore, anything that will bring that process about earlier is also the same thing as putting it out in the first place. Anything that you do that brings the process of cooking earlier, that's also an act of Bishl. But because Zriya, according to him, is fundamentally different, you violate Zriya as soon as you put it in the ground, so then you don't have to care so much about what happens afterwards. You do a new absolute objective step towards making it happen, that's one thing. But just making it quicker, that's not relevant because you've already reached the finish line. So to bring the finish line closer is not relevant as a malacha, while it would be when it comes to Bishl.
Can you say the Mechasimah says that Hashrasha itself is a malacha also?
Correct.
And so that would be where they would...
Right, so apparently he defines Hashrasha as a new stage, not just as a degree issue. But that's we're discussing what Tiffany said, that maybe once you move objectively from one stage to the next, and that's Hashrasha has to happen, right? Working within the Egley Kal's own definition, you're not going to get to a plant if you don't have Hashrasha. So it's not just speeding up the process or slowing it down, but it's an objective necessary step towards getting a result, so then that counts. So once see, we take the two statements that we tell together, right? Anything that's necessary, that counts. So his question then is, once we accept Hashrasha counts, watering counts, anything that's necessary counts. So then the question is, why don't we say that qualitative changes make a difference also? So, because that's not necessary, that's the way we understood what he was saying. And then when it comes to Bishul, we find that it is. Because Bishul, we're interested in what happens later. We're interested in it becoming cooked. So if you're making that happen earlier, that's an act of Bishul. When it comes to Zriya, so it's not about what happens later, it's about what you did already, so therefore, that's done already, you're not adding anything more later.
In both cases, you're affecting the end product.
In both cases, you're affecting what?
You're affecting the end product in both cases.
Correct, except that when apparently the definition is so radically different that when it comes to Zriya, so the end product is done already.
Well,
it doesn't matter because he says, since we're only interested in putting it in, you're right that for the Rashash, maybe you'll have more of a question. He says for him, he's only worried about answering his team's answer, that since putting it in is the malacha already, so that's done. Now, the fact that you will also accelerate the process of bringing about a product of this, okay, that's nice. This is Rabbanan, perhaps. But as far as being the malacha Zriya, that's done already. Now, what about the other way? What if you have a pot that doesn't have holes? And that's its chain or not. So are you allowed to plant in that? Is that an iser d'oraisa? Let's say you're going to do all the normal action of planting, but instead of going into a field, you're going into a pot that's on your shelf and that's not connected to any soil. Is that an issue of Zriya Daraisa? So it sounds like it's not Daraisa when it comes to the opposite, when it comes to Kotze. Yes, sir.
What exactly is the case?
The case is you have a potted plant on your, you have a pot, so you don't have a plant yet. You have a pot on your windowsill, and you want to put a seed in it. Is that an act of Zriya Daraisa? So here, just I don't know if I put it on the list, so I just want to call your attention. So there's a Gemara, Daf Kuf Chesem at Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Tolesh, about the opposite. You see, it's the second line at the top of Kuf Chesem at Aleph, HaTolesh Me'otz Tznokov Chayiv. Right, so here it's connected to the ground, so you're taking it out of the ground, essentially. V'she'eino Nokov, the case we're just talking about, Potter. And the Gemara goes on to say that the Hasul Lav Hainu Rav Yisei, that case we're talking about here is not the normal path of growth. So if you look at the Rashi's over here, Rashi says Ein Lakov Pater Mishum Dolam Mechub VeKarka Olamu, because it's not connected to Karka Olam, meaning real soil of earth. And then Lav Hainu Rav Yisei the Ein Derech Zriya Sham. This is not the way in which you normally plant. So there's really two different things that Rashi just said, and they may address different points. Now, one is that it's not connected to the ground of the earth, and the other is not the derech. So it's the second one that gets the most focus here. So for example, the Shulchan Arash, which you may or may not have seen, the Shulchan Arash assumes that planting in such a otzitz is not considered to be a issue of Zoraya Doraisa, because this is not Derech Zriya. So later Achronim point out that it's relevant, the fact that we're focused on Derech Zriya rather than the issue of it being connected to the ground or not connected to the ground. It's relevant, so for example, for Noteya. Noteya, we'll talk about probably tomorrow, whether it's an Av or a Kolda or a Zriya, but Noteya, the difference is that you're taking a existing sapling or a tree or something smaller and putting it in the ground as opposed to a seed. So this people do in pots. Kind of that is called Derech of Nidia. So if the assumption is that the issue is whether it's Derech or not, if this is not Derech Sriya, it could still be Derech Nitiya. And many assume that even if you assume this is not a Daraisa for a seed, it would be a Daraisa for a tree pie that came on here. Windowsill, but if there's some other sapling in a quick windowsill, this would be considered to be the dera of the violation.
Is this Gemara saying that this is not there?
I can't hear you.
Is this saying this is a call across the board, or is it saying for a certain plant?
Well, it depends what the dera, and then it relates to the point we're just saying, that if the dera of planting was this way, so then maybe it would become a deraisa. But if the assumption is that this is not the dera of planting, normally you plant in the ground. You don't plant on the windowsill, so then that's apparently the key difference. Last we mentioned that therefore Matiya is not the case. Matiya people do stick these saplings and put them on their pots.
Right.
So therefore it might be Derek of Matiya. That's what we're focusing on. That's what those who discussed this question. Rashi here brings up both points. The Rush and others were talking about the question of whether Ratzitz Nakud has a status in Zriya. The inverse of this, which is talking about Tolage, so they're assuming Derech is the main issue. Can you hand up your report, Adam?
Can you clarify the difference
between Zriya and Nitiya? So, yes, it seems like a different thing, right? That Zriya is seeds, and Nitiya means you're taking something that exists on some level, whether it's a big tree or whether it's a little sapling, and putting it in the ground.
Okay, so the seed of Buddha
So that's the question, is that called Zriya or not? So on the one hand, you have the Rush who says that it's not, and you have others who have a suffix about this. The Magen Avos, for example, has a suffix about how to categorize this, and others were not so sure. Nishmas Adam was a machmir on this. He thought that this was considered to be a Zriya Daraisa. This is considered to be something that we acknowledge as a type of Zriya. Hi.
That means any
Nitiya
is automatically replanting?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, it's some things, it has to have been planted to a certain extent before, and then it was disconnected. It's not, the question we said before about bishul after bishul, planting after planting, we mean something that's currently planted. So if something is currently planted, maybe we can't replant it when it's already planted. But something that's been taken out can be restored to its planted state, just like liquids can be cooked again when it's been uncooked. It can then perhaps be recooked. So too, if it's been unplanted, it could be replanted. And who's up first? No one's up first. Okay, so this also addresses a question a little bit about what exactly is the derech, what exactly is the nature of Zriya. And it's relevant very much to a whole other discussion, which draws upon everything we've said so far. The Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam says that if somebody takes seeds, or somebody, let's say, takes chitas, or somebody takes barley, wheat, and he soaks it in water, that is a tolda of zareya. That is a type of planting, and you're chayiv b'kulturally, he says. You're chayiv for that. So there are a lot of questions that are asked in the Rambam. One question is, how does this match with the Gemara, which talks about something similar? We'll come back to that in a second. But what is the nature of what he's talking about? Why is that Zareya? Why is it that soaking seeds in water, soaking wheat in water, wheat kernels, why should that be called anything to do with Zareya? And there are two very different approaches to this question. Perhaps there are more. Do you have any thoughts? What's Zareya about putting wheat kernels in water and soaking in that? Yes?
It's going to facilitate their growth.
Oh, so that's, you're already jumping to the second one. So it could be it's going to facilitate the growth. Let's come back to that in a second. I don't know if you want to say.
I'm just saying keeping it alive.
Keeping it alive.
If it's detached from the ground, it should be to shrivel up. Just like a flower when you take it on there, and then it falls with the
interesting. Is that true? Would it shrivel up otherwise?
I don't know.
You don't find that focused on so much. You find basically the two approaches that you find. It could be that you're right.
I'm assuming it probably goes from a dormant stage to triggering some sort of like biological development when it's in the right environment.
So that's what some assume. Some assume that the Mechanic submission assumes, the Tiferes Yisrael assumes, that essentially there is a sprouting here. And something's going to happen. It's going to germinate. It's going to change form. And then that's what he means by Zareya. That there is something happening here, is essentially growing. This is relevant. We'll talk a little bit more when we get to the halacha l'maisa discussion. The whole question of hydroponics. If you grow in water as opposed to growing in soil, so to what extent is that considered to be normal growth? It comes up from the Shemitah. It's a huge issue. And Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael, how to deal with that, how to categorize that. And the Shabbos also, are we essentially saying that if you put something in water, that's in order for it to sprout, therefore that is a type of Zareya. And Holo Zareya, essentially this is the Raisa of Zareya. But there's another approach as well, which is in line with what Jonathan was saying. This is the way the Radbaz understands it in the Tshuva. And the issue is that this is a preparatory act for planting. That by putting it in water, it becomes more susceptible to taking root later. Now you'll be able to plant it and have it grow more readily. So therefore, that itself is an act of zareya, which is a chiddush. There are other indications around in the context of other halachos. Makes a similar statement. When he talks about tofer, so if you're sewing, so he talks about taking the string and tightening and putting it in the slot in which you're going to use the sew from it. So he lists that as an issue of tofer. Apparently taking a preparatory step that makes it possible to do the malacha, he's assuming is also included within the malacha. Jonathan?
So according to, if we have two reasons why this would be Zareya, so when we put these returns in the water, would be chayav twice?
No, so we only chayav once. The question is, why is he chayav? And it will have halachic ramifications. Sorry?
Even if he has come on to do both of these things?
It's interesting. It's, you don't find that addressed so much. Let's say he's trying both to have it sprout there and then to plant it somewhere later, and that this is a act of doing that. We see both, it could be two Zareyas, if he does it still saying odd. He's not looking to chayav twice no matter what. But the assumption is basically he's trying to do one or the other. It's either for the purposes of having it sprout, or this is to prepare it so that it grows somewhere else. Okay?
If we say that if we're going to say that any preparation for malacha is part of malacha, then why we have so many malacha that are severe in class?
So then
we have a fiyah being asked.
Right, because each one is all the same thing.
Should all be under a fiyah.
Right, that would be a question that we see in general. That's the way the malacha work, that many malachos could have otherwise been connected, or otherwise been consumed within one. But once they made the list of the Mishnah, so they got their own individual status. Even though they could have theoretically been connected otherwise. As you saw, you know, showing the results of the whole 39 question, or the Makar list for 39, they said the Mishnah can't be the Makar for 39, according to those views in Gemara, because you can't figure out Shema came to Mishnah. You can't figure out what should be lumped together as one and what should be separated. So apparently, Mishnah plus 39 is how to. Tells us how to work its individual status. And then we can then we also figure out that something that prepares for that act is also improved.
Yes? It seems like soaking water and calling planting is almost a retroactive because every time it make it essential for planting. You're saying, according to this, if you were to open a package of seeds to shops, it's considered planting. I mean,
maybe we have to figure out how far it's going to go. Maybe anything that's a necessary step towards bringing it about, we intend to do it presumably, is part of that process, which is a finish. Maybe that's what we're saying. So that's a big discussion. What exactly is the thrust of what the Rambam is focusing on? And it makes a difference. It affects a few other questions that we'll talk about. What are we saying here? What finish is the Rambam introducing to us? Is he telling us there's a concept of hydroponics, that essentially you can grow something in water, and that's also a Zareya? You don't really need soil if it's not the way we're going to do it. Or is this a whole different fish that's not about using water to grow things, it's about the fact that it's a preparatory act and preparatory acts are also going to be considered to be malachos. So this has a couple of implications that we'll talk about. There is an important comment in the Magen Avraham, which opens up all kinds of new orders of questions. The Magen Avraham asks on the Rambam that there is a Gemara that sounds like this, the Gemara in Tzvachim, but the Gemara in Tzvachim is different. The Gemara talks about flax, about Hashorah Pishtan, or a Gemara that comes about Adori, actually. Someone throws it, Pishtan, into water. So there, the Gemara says, that's a chiyuv of lush. And what comes out from the Gemara is that's a chiyuv of lush, of weaving together. It creates a substance when they're all going to clump together. That becomes a problem in terms of lush. So, Svarim asks, so why did the Rambam change it? So that's apparently saying that it's not an issue of Zareya. It doesn't seem to be we're worried about a planting consideration. We're worried about a different law. So why did the Rambam change all the details of what the Gemara is talking about? Says the Magen Avraham, the issue there is, the difference is, that we are talking about completely different concerns. And therefore, when it comes to Pishtan, which will create this type of a lush problem, that happens right away. That's immediate. While here, we're not talking about something that happens right away. You have to leave it there for a long time in order for this to happen. And that's why he notes that the Rambam uses a different word, not zorig, about something thrown into the water. But the Rambam says shorig, if you're soaking it in water. So says the Magen Avraham, you have to leave it there for something like a half a day in order for this to be an issue of zorig. And then he goes on to say, and it's maisim b'chol yom. You really have to find a different expression when you're talking about the Shabbos, the maisim b'chol shavua. That people do this in order to feed these kernels to animals. They need them to be softer before they give them to animals, so they soak them in the water. And Magen Avraham assumes that that's not an issue, that we're talking about specifically to leave it there for half a day, and it's going to then achieve a different status. So this Magen Avraham opens up all kinds of questions, all types of issues. First of all, if we assume that the Mechaschinuf is right, that the moment you put it in the ground, you're chayiv, even though it doesn't have its effect later. So why don't we say the same thing? Why don't we say here that putting it in right away is a chiyuv of Zoraya, even if whatever effect it's going to have is going to take a while. Why is it here? It only kicks in and you leave it there for half a day. Any thoughts about that? Yes, sir?
It's not objectively an act of Zariah.
Okay, so why is it not? You're probably right. But what separates it from an act of Zariah?
It's not always the way that it could be Zariah. Like, it could be other things. Like, it only takes
a Zariah context if you
intend for a long time.
Okay.
So definitely.
Okay. So therefore, it only attains its status once you leave it there for a while. And before that, it's not Zariah.
So, like the other one.
So if we knew what Zariah, if we know putting it in the ground is Zariah, so then that's Zariah right away. But here, this only achieves the definition of Zariah by letting it schlep there a little bit. Okay, could be. Any other thoughts about this? If you say also that it's preparatory, so it really depends on what our focus is. And if we say that it's about sprouting, so then there's a little more of a question to ask, that, so then why do we have to wait for it to sprout? As soon as we put it in, that's already off in the same way as soon as we put it into the ground. If we say that it's there in terms of being a preparatory act for Zariah, so maybe it's only valuable as a preparatory act after it's soaked for a while, and somebody who's going to put it in for a minute is not going to have any value as far as this is concerned, which is a possible avenue. And then this could also, again, get into the whole Rishash issue, that what part of Zariah are we talking about? Are we talking about bringing about a result, in which case we can ask the question, why is there extinction here? We're after waiting for the result. Or are we talking about, maybe this is similar to what Dimit Hasigov said, that putting a seed in the ground as a step towards Zareya is an act of Zareya. So therefore also putting a kernel in water as a step towards planting it is also considered to be an act of planting. That becomes an important question. And the Nishmas Adam, the Chayyad, the Nishmas Adam asks, so why don't I say this is a riot? That Otzitz Shein Onoku, the person plants in Otzitz Shein Onoku, should be Chayyad. If I can plant in water, that's not powerful one, that's not the outside soil. So why is it any worse for me to plant in a potted plant than it is for me to plant in water? The truth is, it all depends on how you understand what the issue is. Now, if the issue is that this is a preparatory act for planting, so it has no correlation to the Otzitz Shein Onoku. Right? The Otzitz Shein Onoku is not about preparation for something else. That's your whole plan. So if that's what the focus of this Rambam is, then there's no overlap between this and the Otzitz Shein Onoku. But if the idea is it's going to sprout in there, so then it does seem that Nishma Sado's point, that is what you said for it, that there is some correlation between this and planting on your windowsill. So that's a very major ramification. To what extent is there a lesson to be derived from this Rambam for other types of non-outside soil planting? The Rambam writes, for example, that a person is not allowed on Shabbos, he has flowers which will be affected, will be enhanced by being put into water, they're going to open up more, they're going to blossom. So you're not allowed to put those flowers in water on Shabbos. But what's not clear, is that a deraisa or is that a derabbanan? So if it's derived from this idea of soaking this kernel in water, so what's that about? If that's about the fact that it's going to change the water, so then the flowers are comparable. Like we don't want to put something in water that's going to change and grow, so then the flowers may be a deraisa, maybe the same type of idea that the Rambam's talking about. But if the whole thrust is that this is a preparatory act, this is something that you do in order to be ready for something else, so then that doesn't carry over to the situation of the flowers, and therefore that's not necessarily as compelling a point. Anyone follow that for us? Make sense? So this is a halachic issue that has some significant ramifications. The Yitzchak Zilberstein mentioned it the other day from his Sefer HaRev, he also has a fascinating story on the daf called Chashuk Yechemen. I guess it's Daf Yom Yishim. He always has something interesting to say in his sermon. So he talks about, this is not something that he brought up, a lot of us want to talk about this also, about people who put avocado seeds in water. Apparently this is some type of a decoration that people do, put avocado seeds in water, and they change form in the water. So he assumes that this is actually an iser deraisa. This is a very significant act, because this is the way you do it. This is the way this is normally done. Here the seeds are sprouted, and they happen this way normally. So he thinks that's a significant problem. He says, however, we don't have to assume that the issue happens right away. And this is relevant to what we were asking about the Magen Avraham before. Why does the Magen Avraham say that you have to wait all day, have to leave it there half the day, in order for the Rambam to have a problem? So we had various suggestions. Either it's not called an act of Zriya to leave it there all day, or that's not called it's only there to be a preparatory act. So the preparatory act is only relevant if that's what you're doing. So another approach is, another reason why there might be a difference between putting seeds in the ground, where we say it's in the lawful right away, and putting the seed in water, where it's only relevant if it sprouts or if it's there for a long time, depending on your understanding. Another difference might be whether we're talking about an av or a tov. That's how some svarim assume that an av has a little bit of a different leeway to it, because an av is comparable right away to what was done in the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, what was Zoreya? So Zoreya was the act of putting seeds in the ground. And we saw, not clear what we're planting the seeds for, whether it's for bread or for dyes or for something in the middle. But that's the act of Zoreya, is putting it in the ground. So therefore, we can define normal Zoreya as putting it in the ground. And when we have another type of Zoreya, which is not really comparable to the Mishkan, it's only comparable to the Mishkan because it's takes on some type of a common goal of changing the form of what you have into something new, some new type of plant. So then maybe the chiyuv only comes in when it actually reaches that stage. So that could be an important difference. Therefore, practically speaking, says the Nisqav Zilberstein, if you did do this, if you put the avocado seed in a cup of water, then what does he recommend you do? Take it out. And so then, even though the seed is presumably mukta, so it's better to either not worry so much about the mukta or do it kalach or yad, do it in a roundabout way, because he thinks you're really risking a circular ice here. And not like with Zaria, where anyone who sides with the Hasina says it's already done. And therefore, we mentioned on Sunday that even if you want to say, well, you should take it out afterwards, but we probably wouldn't override Muksa for that because it's only a slim chance that you're making any difference. And you could also do it on Sunday. Here it's different. Here it could start sprouting earlier. And he's assuming that until it sprouts, you haven't yet violated the Malacha. And therefore, it's worth interrupting, even if you have to contend with the Moksa issue. So that's a significant point, which probably flows from the fact that there is a difference between the Av of Zoreya, which you're violating right away, and these other forms, which are going to perhaps be subject to a more broad perspective, where it has to actually happen in order for you to violate the law, because we're focused more on your bringing about this act of Zaria. Okay, everyone following so far? Any sense? Yes, no?
Yes, sir. I think it's interesting to have a Toldah.
So the Av is from the Mishkan. Right? So and the Toldah shares a function with the Mishkan. We'll get a little bit probably tomorrow. We talk about what are the Avos of Zaria, what's the Toldah of Zaria. What exactly is the definition between the difference between an av and a tolda? But loosely translating now, we can say that an av is an action that was done in the Mishkan, and the tolda shares, let's say, a function with the av, but it's not the same action. So since Zoreya, in the sense of putting seeds in the ground, that was done in the Mishkan, okay, so that defines the action. So as soon as I put a seed in the ground, I'm already in violation of Zoreya. But here, we're not saying that this is actually Zoreya. We're saying this is a tolda of Zoreya. So it's still an Issa Doraisa. But what defines it is that you are sharing this tachlis, that you're bringing about the growth of something. So we don't have the Mishkan comparison tell us you're chayiv right away. So maybe you're only chayiv, or likely you're only chayiv until it sprouts. And that's presumably one way of saying what the Magen Avraham is getting at. Okay. Any questions about any of that? Yes, sir. Go.
Just the last part.
Yes.
You say that the tolda, you might be chayav on
the tolda, it could be that we define it more by its function. So if we define it more by its function, so then if it hasn't happened yet, if the function hasn't been brought about, So then maybe that's not going to necessarily be considered a chiyuv. Now, when it talks about zareya, regular planting in the ground, since that is the definition of the malacha from the Mishkan, so then you're chayav right away. But other things you bring about, we don't necessarily know that that's the case. Okay, so maybe we'll just review what we spoke about before going too much further. So just in terms of what do we still have left to do here, so we have the major question of what exactly constitutes the act of putting it in the ground. As you may have seen from the Marmakomo, so there is still a question of, does it have to be actually covered by the soil? If you put seeds in the ground, or seeds on the ground, so it's ultimately going to get covered up. So is that considered to be a automatic act of zriya? Or is it only an act of zriya if you fully cover it? Maybe putting it in the ground means you have to fully cover it up, and anything less than that is not considered to be an act of zriya, which will open up all kinds of nafkaminas of its own. And will also open up nafkaminas of what is considered to be an act of harisha. So as we'll see, this will help us segue from one malacha to the next. So harisha, literally translating the word, it means to plow. But plowing could either be an act of harisha, an act of something that you do to prepare the ground for future planting. Or if you plow after you put the seeds in the ground, so then plowing could be for the purpose of fully covering up the seeds with soil. So therefore the same action which constitutes an act of harisha could actually be an act of zriya, depending on when you're doing it. If we assume that zriya requires not just putting it there where it's actually going to get covered up, but actually covering it up as well. And if we do make the split, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, if we do make the split between putting it in the ground and covering it with soil, then it's not considered full zriya until it's covered with soil. So then that opens up all kinds of other nafkaminas. What if one person does one part and one person does the other part? What if you put it in the ground on Shabbos and don't cover the soil until after Shabbos? There's all kinds of fun nafkaminas that can come up if you want to make a distinction between putting something on the ground and actually covering it in soil. And it happens to be, in my focus, I've thrown it out of Paschim, different from artists in different ways. So we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. Just before we pause today, I just want to quickly review what we spoke about. So we spoke about the fact that the differences between the Rosh Hashanah and the Chasinah affect a lot of questions that come up. The question of, do we see the act of Zriya as taking the first step towards something that will likely sprout, whether or not it happens, or is it about bringing about the sprouting and the advancing of plant growth, which could affect all kinds of different questions. And we saw Ben Chastinov himself had an interesting shita that not just putting it in the ground is considered to be the vehicle zriya, but even theoretically, if you could know that you were both putting it in the ground and having the hashrasha take place, that may also be considered two separate vehicles of zriya, and that's quite a striking idea. And then we talked about some of these issues that are affected by our definitional issues. The question of an utzis she'eino nagul, of a pot that has holes in it that draws sustenance from the ground. So the Gemara says if you move it up or down, out of the pegs away from the ground or off the pegs onto the ground, so you are high of rishon holesh going up and presumably zareh going down. But all so many of the rishon and Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh Hashanah and others saying that that is really only a chiyuv d'rabbanan, because the Kavod HaBriyos question pushes them that way, and the Rambam apparently saying it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. I mentioned the question here really seems to be the question of a qualitative difference or a degree difference as opposed to an absolute difference. To what extent is that also potentially a chiyuv d'oraisa or d'oraisa? Many potential ramifications of that question. So if we say that a degree difference is not a chiyuv d'oraisa, how come we have the problem of water in the ground? How come we have all kinds of other issues? So you mentioned the Eglei Tal distinction, that it's one thing to do something that's absolutely necessary for growth. It's another thing to accelerate or slow down the process. That would not be considered to be a Doraisa concern. So what about when it comes to Bishul? When it comes to Bishul, we see that there is a concern. If you stir the pot, that's considered to be a Doraisa Bishul. So he says, for his camp, in the Mechassin HaChegolital camp, that it's one thing when you talk about Zareya, that the malacha is done right away. So then whatever you do afterwards to accelerate the process and get playing out is not really relevant. But when it comes to bishul, so the end game is what we're concerned about. You eventually bring something about. So to bring that closer is itself also considered to be an act of bishul. Then we talked about Matzah, if you have a pot that doesn't have holes in it, can you plant in that? Presumably you can't, at least Rabbanan, but is it a Doraisa real or not? Sounds like from the Gemara that confess, if you take something out of such a pot, it's not considered to be Tolesh. Two languages are actually about what the issue is, it's not connected to Karka Olam, whether it's not Derech Zriya. That we mentioned that the Rush and others focus on the Derech issue to figure out whether or not there is a Doraisa of planting in such a pot. So Sotik and the Mogen Avos, there are others such as the Mishnah Sadan, by the way, there are Hashulchan and Shvista Shabbos also, who were machmir on this question, who did consider it to be an act of Zriya inside such a pot, even though it's not connected to the ground. And then we talked about the Rambam statement that if somebody soaks a kernel of wheat, let's say, in water, so then that's a tola of Zareya. We mentioned at least two different understandings as to what the issue is. Is the issue that it's going to cause something to sprout inside the water? So this is essentially addressing hydroponic planting. Or is the issue that you are preparing for making a future act of planting more effective, and therefore anything that's a preparatory act is also considered to be a part of the malacha? And then we mentioned that the Rambam seems to be deviating from what the Gemara says. The Gemara mentions Kishda in the water and says that it's an issue of lush. The Rambam is changing all the details. So we mentioned the Logan Rambam's explanation that, yeah, Kishda, that's lush right away. This is something else. This is deep and somewhere in the water. You leave there for like a day or half a day. That's going to become something else. That becomes an issue of Zareya. He says just to do it temporarily is not a problem. And in fact, people do that for animals every day. By the way, this relates to a question that was asked in the other context. You mentioned the ecology of if you plant with intent to uproot. So then he says, even though you would say uprooting afterwards doesn't change it, if you have intent to uproot it, that's going to negate the act of Zareya. So somebody asked the question, what if you have intent to uproot it, and you don't uproot it? By the way, to me, it strikes me that that's the short part of it, you're lacking the intent. So more recently, a lot of Sfarim who asked the question, don't feel they have an absolute answer. I'm very strongly inclined to take your partner in that case. So here as well, the question is raised, Shulchan Aruch Harav talks about this. So the Magen Avraham says, if you soak the kernels in water for a short time to feed your animals, what if that's your intent? And then you forget about it, and you leave it there, and then it stays there for a day. So he assumes in that case you're Pater also, but it's a somewhat parallel case. But here you're even more likely to be Pater, because he said it only kicks in at a half-day limit. So it's somewhat of a overlapping question. So we discussed these two different understandings about whether it's that we're concerned about sprouting or whether it's a preparatory act. And this affects a lot of other questions. It affects the Rabban Sumra, that if you put flowers and water that are going to blossom, says you're not allowed to do that. Is that in the rice or the rabbana? It would depend on this question. Are we saying here that growing things in water is in the rice? Or no, just putting things in water is a problem because it's preparing for an act of Zriya, but if it's not preparing, then it's not necessarily going to be comparable to this situation. Which then affected also the question of Nishmas Adam's proof. Nishmas Adam saying we can see from here that planting and enough that Shemir Makhlu should be planting if no limits in water. Well, it depends. The issue is preparing, then it is different. If the issue is that it's going to grow in the water, you could say maybe there is what to compare about the two. And then we talked about the issue of the avocado seed. There's some Zilberstein and others saying this is a real act of Zriya Doraisa, there's no drought there, but you're not trying to go over, so you should uproot it before that happens. And the difference between this and regular Zriya, because the Mishnah gives us a model of putting something in the ground while the avocado seed told up, and therefore it's a different story. And then we just started to introduce the question, which we'll pick up more tomorrow, to what extent does planting require you actually cover up the seed in the ground? Is it enough just to put it on top, or do you have to actually cover it up? If you do make a distinction, it opens up all kinds of possible nachmanides, which may be relevant again to understanding what we're addressing here. Any further questions about any of that? Anything is clear? Anybody, Got all that? Okay, I wish you a fantastic day. Tomorrow is a Tuesday, which means it's an early day, but I'll see you here early in the morning.